that's the way I see it. And that's the way I feel is a Torah vision. Purim, let's talk about it a little bit. I want to give us an updated adult version. You can handle it. Haman's name is mentioned in the Megillah 54 times. 54 times. You know, I've always tried to count, you know, Haman. It hasn't worked. How do I know 54 times? The way I really know is that when Rabbi David Cohen's Sefer on Purim has 54 prakim, the 54th perek in his Sefer, it's the Rosh Yeshiva's Rebbe, if 54th parent is, why is Haman's name mentioned 54 times in the Megillah? So I know, clearly, you know, whatever I saw before that, I saw it in his Sefer, I knew that it's Emes. So I just saw him, and I shared an idea with him that I want to share with you, because it has to do with tonight's talk. And then it's not in his Sefer, but he liked it. The Chumash, Bereishis, Noach, Lech Lecha, Vayerech, Ha'isara, told us, etc., till Zos HaBracha, has how many Sedras? How many? 54. How'd you know? We didn't talk about it. Did we talk about it? 54. Exactly, 54. And therefore, Haman Yimach Shemo wanted Lahashmid, La'areg, La'abed, Eskol, Ha'yuhudim, for every single male, female, infant, old person, finished. Total annihilation. No quarter given. No rachmanis. You know, at one time, by the way, people say, oh, a story like that couldn't be. I mean, you know, one of these stories, I don't even believe it. Okay, unfortunately, we can believe it too readily. Okay. But anyway, his name is mentioned 54 times. Why? Because there are 54 Sedras. He tried to blot out the Am HaTorah. He wanted to destroy the Torah, everything. That's Amalek. And therefore, fine. You wanted to destroy the people of the 54 Sedras? Now your name is mentioned 54 times and we blot it out each and every single time it's mentioned. Unless a person goes to a shul, like some of them say, you know, you can only make noise the first time, and the last time. But in between, you can always, with your shoe. There are many people who used to write Haman on the sole of their shoe. And, you know, just step on it as such. But that's the idea. And what is the idea with this? If you take 54, nun, dalid, reverse it, you have the word done, judge. We see from this, yesh din, the yesh dayan. There is justice and there is a judge. There's justice and there is a judge. And we know that all the time. Not just then, but it's operant now. It was operant in the Gulf War, which is before your time. The Gulf War, where Gulf War ended on Purim. You know, oh, if only people would make open miracles now today, we know the world would be different. If you believe it, you're making a big mistake. Just know one thing. At the time of Yam Suf, there was no bigger miracle, not even the Gulf War, not the Six-Day War, none of these wars, nothing. Nothing was greater than Yam Suf. And what happened in Yam Suf? Here, all the Egyptians who came after drowned. Paro lives to tell the story later on in Nineveh, fine. But what happens? Amalek comes to fight. People in Canaan are frightened. They're shivering, but they don't change their ways. Who comes? Who changes his way? Yisroel. Ma shemua shamo bo. What did Yisroel hear that he came? He heard. Yisroel Mitzrayim, Kriyas Yam Suf. That's what Rashi says on that. So therefore, an open miracle. You would expect the people in Canaan would have changed. We want Sheva Mitzvahs B'nai Noach. We'll do it. No problem. It didn't happen. Amalek comes to fight. You imagine that? If God would only make open miracles. What do you think happened when Sodom turned upside down? If I would read the newspapers of those times, there was some natural disaster. A cataclysmic event occurred. Something like Pompeii in Italy. Oh, why? Whatever it is, they're always, if you don't want to look for it, it's not going to be there. So let's not make mistakes, but let us understand the code. The code definitely is 54 times, a reminder to us, Yesh Din V'Yesh Dayan, and the Kaddish Baruch was there. Now the fact is that when the Vilna Gaon says that when people needed chizuk during the course of the year, generally, during the rest of the year, they would take out a Megillas Esther. They wanted chizuk in dark times, in the times where there's HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Benister. We heard that beautiful song, you know, Afilu Behastara, Shebetoch Hastara. We have to always remember, we have to change it around. Afilu Behatzlacha, Betoch Hatzlacha. It's both. But the fact is, we've had enough too. We know HaKadosh Baruch Hu is there at all times. There's no question at all. Purim has enormous significance. Enormous, more so than many other Yom Tovim. Here's a Derabbanan. It has fantastic significance. Kabbalah Satara Mi'ahava, the Yeshua for Klal Yisrael, Mechias Amalek. We have as well over here the no. We see no. There's no coincidences happen in the world. All that happens in the story comes together, and they understand why whatever happened. Seeing HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the Nes Nister, the huge things that happen every day when we make every Friday Moshe Shabbos. La Yehudim Ohayisa Orav Simcha V'Sasam Vikor. Where does that come from? La Yehudim. Where does it come from? Ohayisa. Where does it come from? It comes right out of the Megillah. And then we say, Kain Tielanu. That's our addition. May it also be for us. So the fact is that there's huge, and yet, of all the Yom Tovim, the kindergarten look remains. This is the kindergarten. This is it. It's like a guy, somebody said, a person went, one of the mechanchim says that he went out, he was once rooming with someone in a, you know, overnight in a hotel. They shared a room together, and the guy took off his shirt, takes his shirt off, and he's wearing a pair of tzitzis that are this big, you know? A pair of tzitzis. I was not the guy. My pair of tzitzis comes all the way down to here. But there's the tzitzis. And he said, hey, he said, these are the tzitzis. He's like, how come you're wearing such small tzitzis? He says, these are the tzitzis my parents bought me when I was a little kid. Okay, so that's the fact is that many of us continue in life with the thoughts that we had when we were little children. Let me give you an idea. I don't know why it happens over here, but it did happen per se. I remember in school, as a child, once there was a wicked, wicked man, you know that one? And Haman was his name, sir. He would have murdered all the Jews, but they were not to blame, sir. Oh, today we merry, merry be and eat some chumantashen. It would be almost funny if it didn't negate Das Torah, because it's not true. And we were not to blame for, too. We were not to blame. As a wicked man, his name is Haman, and we were not to blame. The Gemara says differently. The Gemara says why when the Rashbis, Talmidim came, and they said to Reb Shimon Bar Yochai, how come this happened? He didn't say, oh, we were not to blame, let's have some hamantashen. He said, what is it? He said, the hishtachavu letzelem. The people bowed down to the statue of Nebuchadnezzar. You didn't bow to him. Of course, they didn't accept him as the god, God forbid, but they bowed at the time. And the fact is, shenehenu, they enjoyed, I emphasize, nehenu, the celebration of Achashverosh in the city, which, by the way, was there as a celebration that the Golus for the Jews was going to remain, that the Beis HaMikdash would never be rebuilt, and the Jews would always be a vassal people to the people in Babylonia. And this is their going to their nehenu. So that when this happens, it's not that, they were not to blame, sir. No, sirree. So the little cute story is that if it wasn't connected, Das Torah, but just okay, fine, it's good. We in our school, we didn't sing it. It didn't have. It was there before when I came, finished, because it wasn't right. But the fact is this: I want us to see just another thing altogether. Do we know? Or do we internalize? We know. I know. We know. That Haman was killed. He was judged and killed 11 months before Purim. The fact is this, that Esther came to, let's go back, Vashti is killed by her husband in the third year of his reign. Ahasuerus, he took the throne. 3 years after that, he felt strong enough that when she didn't listen to him, he killed her. Okay? 7 years left, in the seventh year, 4 years later, in the seventh year of his reign, Esther comes into the house. All right? Yeah. Vashti dies in the third year of his reign. Esther is now hit a queen in the seventh year of his reign. And Haman becomes powerful in the 12th year of his reign. Esther had been there for 5 years. She was ensconced in the palace before Haman came into the scene. Now it's the third, he's now powerful. He had always been around. Memuchin was around, but he wasn't powerful till then. But now, and hear it clearly, on the 13th day of Nisan, Nisan is the first Jewish month of the year, of the Jewish people, of Nisan. The 13th of Nisan. So Haman makes because he's angry at Mordechai, and his Amalek behavior comes out in wanting to destroy the Jewish people. He draws lots. Number one, it comes out that we're going to kill the Jews on the 13th day of Adar, which we will keep as a Tinus Esther, the 13th, which is 11 months later. And he goes to the king, and he says, please, let's take care of it right now. And the king agrees, the plan, gives him a ring, so they sign the decree, they send it out with runners, all that is the same day. Mordechai finds out, he immediately goes to Esther, the same day, it's all on the 13th. What a busy, busy day, without email, without anything. They're just moving around. And now, Esther makes a plan. She says, I want you all, starting tomorrow, this is the 13th day, I want you now to fast for 3 days. I'll fast also. He says, you have to go to the king. I'll go to the king. I'm putting my life on the line, everything on my line, my full relationship, everything. We're on the line. So fine. So they agree. This is all on the 13th day. Now, the people in Shushan, the Jews, are feeling terrible. The non-Jews are feeling good. They see a Jew, and they make signs as if to say, you're going to be finished. That type of stuff. Okay, and then, now comes the 14th, the 15th, and the 16th. Okay, from the 13th to the 16th are only 4 days. Esther is fasting, everybody's fasting. Haman is unmasked on the 16th. Of Nisan, 4 days after the whole plot started, 4 days, and he's hanged that night, or to the 17th, the night after the 16th. The whole plot from beginning to end took 4 days. Think of that. And Haman was killed immediately. He was hanged on the tree, and his body was later exhumed. 11 months later, when his children were killed, together with 75,000 other people who, throughout the 127 Medinas, fought like lions against the Jewish people. There were no bombers, no B-17s, B-50s, nothing. They had to fight 75,000. And many of them were Amalekim. And in the city of Shushan, 500 on the first day, 300 on the second day. We realize what's going on. And this is after Haman was dead for 11 months. His children were alive. And when they were hanged, they took his body, what was left of it, that did not decompose, and they hung it too. They didn't hang him. He was hanged before, 11 months before. The body was hung together with his sons. This is what happened in the story. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu always delivers. It's interesting, but this is the way it really happened. We have to be careful. when it comes to Purim, when you see this is the real story of Purim that I give you, Al Pi Chazal. But it's not just Al Pi Chazal. Look, if you look into the Megillah, if you have another understanding, if you'll say, I don't understand. How can I ever think that Haman was around on Adar 11 months later when it says Beferish, what happened in the words of the Megillah? You don't even have to look. And you don't even have to look at the Gemara to be able to appreciate what's going on here. It's Beferish, spelled out. It's number one. Now, we have to be careful on Purim, especially, that we don't take the candy and miss these major points. I'll tell you what I mean. Let me explain. There was an Arison of a young fellow who had been about 30 years old. Didn't get married so easily. Now 30 years old. Everybody's is so happy, happy, happy. There's a child, and the young kid in the family who's crying. And everybody says, oh, listen, why are you crying? Your brother's having an Arison. But, you know, it's so wonderful. But he doesn't care. He's crying. So what do? They give him candy. And now he's happy. He has candy. So he's happy too. The fact is, we have to be careful that on Purim, we are happy for the right thing. We're happy for the fact that we're connecting to Hashem, and that really the dveikus b'Hashem and the happiness that we were saved, we're here now because what happened then, and that we have a relationship with the Kadosh Baruch Hu, and we have a Torah that we accepted again, bi'ahava, and that we have a whole life that's really meaningful. It's not the life of Stama Behema, Chas v'Shalom, but what really meaningful, and we have to really see this is it. And we don't make a mistake of taking the candy and leaving the main thing. I want to tell you a story. This is not Stama's story. I was witness to part of this. In Ner Yisrael, when I was a bocher in Ner Yisrael, okay, there was a boy about 17 years old, and came Purim. And he wanted Ad Delo Yada to be really involved in the, you know, in Purim. And so he's probably a first or second year, you know, bocher in the yeshiva. So he, before Purim, he got an older boy to go to the liquor store to buy a bottle of Pikesville. But I saw the bottle. Pikesville was like the type of stuff, it was the cheapest liquor that you could get. It was the type of stuff that somebody probably made in his bathtub and then, you know, filled it in. And now the kid, he gets it. All right, after the Megillah, everybody goes into the, you know, goes into the lunchroom, into the Garrison Boulevard in the old days, and everybody is dancing around. And this boy goes ahead, because, you know, he wants to be a part of the whole thing. He takes the bottle of liquor, and then here's what happens. He passes out. Passes out. A bottle of liquor, he passes out. And then The friends get all, you know, nervous. They take him up. It's with some rather funny, I guess. And they take him to his room. It's a flight up. The dormitory used to be on the second floor in those days. Take him up and they throw him on his bed. Next to the bed was a radiator. And when he went on, they threw him on the bed, you know, let him sober up. His head hit the radiator. Bleeding. The kids get now. They get scared. They grab him and he drop him down a flight of stairs. Flight of stairs, and then take him to the hospital. The hospital sees he's still alive. They stitch up his head. They send him back to the yeshiva. And next day he's lying on a mattress when he wakes up as such. Okay, and that was it. Okay, so all right. I know the story is true, because I'm the boy. This happened to me. I got the candy. It happened to me. Sometime later on, when I told this over, somebody said to me, you know, and this is not just time, somebody who knows that when a person takes a lot of liquor, he can have cardiac arrest. Cardiac arrest means that his heart stops. So it's not a joke. I said to myself, oy vey, you know, I thought I was lucky. I didn't realize how lucky. But I said, is this? So that's the rest for the rest of that, you know, Purim, besides the headache And besides, like I said, I witnessed part of it. Because I must tell you, the only part that I know is the part up until the time of passing out. The rest of it is all hearsay. If I'm, you know, that I know is true. And I know what the stuff looked like. I know all that. I don't know the rest of the thing firsthand. I only got it secondhand from the people who, you know, who told me about it. But that was it. But I remember it well. At least I, after waking up. Anyway, these are the things. We hear stories, but this is a, you know, firsthand, really story that happened. And say, God forbid it should happen. You know, it shouldn't happen to anybody here. But if we can come through a Purim and really feel connected to a Kaddish Baruch Hu, and like it says in Halacha, did you, after drinking the amount that you have, remember, a person gets high, okay. You know, listen, there's a whole Reish Tzadik Tirtza, Tuf Reish Tzadik. If you take a look at that one page, that one daf, gives you all the shittas. I mean, you know, there's plenty of achronim. You see the shittas there. Clearly, you see that if a person gets high, okay, it's, you know, one can enjoy a high. But if a person gets low, he's afraid of getting low and not high, it's a problem. But that's it. But the key is, then Yitzhak Hashem, you will have a wonderful, without a doubt, a wonderful Purim in the best possible way. And as the Rosh Hashiva would say, going higher and higher, but not lower and lower. Let me finish off with one idea that happens in the next 5 minutes. You're going away, Chutz La'aretz, in Yitzhak Hashem. It's a wonderful opportunity. I love Bein Hazmanim, because Bein Hazmanim always gave me the opportunity to see how much I changed, and made me opportunities. Especially, I was away. I wasn't away for 7 months like you at the time. Again, there Israel still, but it was from Elul to Pesach was still a time that we see change. You have fantastic opportunities to be Mekadesh Shem Shemayim. And let me give you an idea of what it happens with Mekadesh Shem Shemayim. An article in the Modiah 6 weeks ago about a plane that had to land in Goose Bay, Canada, because it had problems with it. You raised your hand. Were you on that plane?
Yeah.
You were on the plane?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I shouldn't be talking. Hey! Okay. Now, here's what they wrote here. You'll tell me if I'm reading from here. As when you got onto the second plane to come back here, so the happen is this. Person who was the pilot of the new plane said, I admire each and every single one of you for your behavior in the emergency landing as described by the last crew. The calm and polite and kind-hearted conduct of the passengers were noticed by all. One irreligious man who had acted very coldly towards his observant neighbor throughout the initial flight, during the stopover, he slowly began warming up, and his neighbor shared things, food with him and other things, and then they engaged in friendly conversation. The man admitted that he always disliked observant people, but that his outlook was now completely changed. Right there on the plane, he donned his neighbor's tefillin, he put it on, davened and made brachas. Did you see that? You did? Fantastic. We have to talk about this, but I appreciate this because I wasn't there. I say over things, but here I'm happy to see that the Emes. I would tell you like this. Besides starting at home with your parents, your siblings, other members of the family, to be Mekadesh Shem Shemayim, and every single one of you knows your own way. It doesn't, you know, I'm not going to talk down to you by clarifying what you should do. But you have fantastic opportunities to really show that change and the Hakaras HaTov that you have, that you've changed, and your parents are giving you the opportunity. There's no shiloh about that. Besides this, the Rav in the Shul, be kind to him. The Rav, I don't care who he is, he always has to take a lot of stuff from everybody. And therefore, when he's talking, don't learn in a sefer. If you're there, don't take out a sefer and learn. If you're there, don't walk out when he speaks. Rav Moshe Feinstein, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, when he was in somewhere in Florida at the time when the Rav was giving a shiur, he came down to listen to the shiur. You know the message that gives the Balabatim there? When the Rav Moshe comes to listen to the Rav, by you, they look at you, a Ben Torah, you know, a bachur, yeshiva bachur, even they say, come on, I've only been away 7 months. People look at you differently. That's what it is. And therefore, you're going to behave differently too. And the truth is, you are different. Baruch Hashem. You want to have a Dvar Torah ready. Whatever it is, have it. Because someone's going to say to you somewhere, we have a few minutes between Mincha Maariv, or can you share something with me? Be ready to share something and you'll have Siyata Dishmaya. I was at a hospital where there was a lady who's a paraplegic. And she can't even talk. But with her spasmodic hand, I was there with my wife. She, if you help her, she can touch the Lo Aleinu, or anybody, the ABC. And she wrote out the word Devar. My wife said, Devar Torah? Yeah. So I said, give her a Devar Torah. What am I going to give her? And then, I'll tell you, and then I thought of the six Midas, Mitzvahs Tmidias. I was learning them with Yossi. And I say, hey, and we went ahead and we made this, you know, a different part. Hashem exists. There's no other independent power. Hashem is one. You must love Hashem. You should have awe for Hashem and never let your eyes or your heart distance you from Hashem. And she has this in her room now that she wants to put it up. She put it up and she has this there. Who gave me the idea? Who gave me the idea of this? Hashem at this money was right there. If you have something that you want to share, you will be given the opportunity. You can make who knows what. I was accepted to a yeshiva in New York City, prestigious yeshiva. And my father-in-law, Mishalom, was in the Young Israel of Hartford for Shalashudis when Mendel Bernstein, Zecher Letov, from Far Rockaway, anybody knows of Mendel? He was a yeshiva bacher. He came in and he spoke at Shalashudis. A bacher is your age then. I was Mendel Bernstein. Anyway, he spoke, and when my father, Lev Shalom, heard him speak, and later on I said, I want to change. I don't want to go to this yeshiva in New York. I want to go to Baltimore, to Nei Yisrael. And Mendel came from Nei Yisrael. I came to Nei Yisrael. It changed my whole life, thank God. You could be the ones now, and you may never even know it, who for the good change people's lives. Halavai. Agud Mech.